Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me today is Christian. How are you, mate?
Yeah, going well, Steve. Mixed, to be honest, because we've got some sweltering weather here in Melbourne, Australia, the last couple of days. So, sweating me nuts off, but at the same time, reveling in Olympiakos's, recent resurgence. So, yeah, that's the definition of mixed, I suppose.
Yeah, and I'll best believe we're definitely going to get into that. I mean, weather-wise here, Christian, it's raining heavily. So stereotypical London weather. So I've got that to look forward to when I go to work later. But still, we talk about Greek football to get me pumped for when I have to step outside. So I guess we'll start with the Super League, as we always do. And firstly, Adromitos, 2-0 loss to Aris. So good win for Aris there. Garcia with the goal with a 33rd minute penalty followed that by a Darida 94th minute goal to pretty much tie up that match there. Adromitos still not in good form. Hey, Christian.
Yeah, like I've been saying to myself lately that, Saša Ilić doesn't know too much about losing, and then all of a sudden they've, I think, lost five league games in a row. So he's getting a taste of that now. So it's interesting how, I mean, I'm sure they'll stick with him, obviously, to the end of the season and things like that. But how much he learns from this, it'll be interesting how that plays out.
Yeah, and they're mathematically, I don't believe they can hit the playoffs now, if I'm not mistaken. They're 23 points. Lamia's on 34. So yeah, I think they need mathematically, I don't think they can qualify
Yeah,
for the playoffs
they're
now.
gone. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. It's a shame because they had a bit of momentum in the last few early part of this year and towards the end of the year too. Last year, sorry, but yeah, it's a shame. It's the playoff. It's the best of the rest for Adromitos again. Aris, definitively the fifth best team.
Yeah, they've got a mortgage there. There's no doubt about that. They're not moving from it, I don't think, or probably not going to, slide. So they're certainly not
No.
going up. But yeah, a Lamia or an Asteras. Without knowing the table off the top of my head, could catch them, but yeah, it looks like fifth's theirs.
Not too far behind, but yeah. Speaking of Lamia, good segue. They got a in really, really big 2-2 draw over Panathinaikos. So it was actually Carlitos, a former Panathinaikos player, who opened the scoring in the 45th minute plus 1 minute of added time. Then Bernard scored 2 minutes later, just before the break. So there was the equaliser there. Yeremeyev put Panathinaikos ahead 2-1 in the 59th minute. And then Zilulis scored in the 68th minute. Although, and interestingly, Christian, Lamir played most of this game with 10 men because Ruben Martinez got sent off in the 39th minute. So before anyone even scored, Lamir were down a man, and they managed to get credible draw against Panathinaikos and still causing issues for the big boys. The loss to the win against Olympiacos earlier this year. So good on them, and it's a big hit for Panathinaikos in terms of well, not a big hit for them in the title race, but they could have gone top potentially with that if they'd won, and they didn't. So
Yeah, look, it's a blow they could have done without. There's no doubt about that. It obviously doesn't kill their title chances, but
oh no, definitely not.
yeah. But Lamia, whilst they're not going to obviously get any form of silverware, they won't complain about making it tough for the big dogs in inverted commas at the top. So no, all power to them. And you mentioned Carlitos there. 10 goals and 4 assists in the league. So he's going beautifully, I think, from 21 games.
Yeah, amazing for him. And I've been singing his praises ever since he signed for them. I think he's such a shrewd pickup for them. And look, they look at the moment to be the favourites. It's just them and Asteras, who can mathematically qualify for the playoffs now. And they look currently the favourites, barring an Asteras run towards the end. But as Michael said last week, even with this result against Panathinaikos, they have a tough run of fixtures to finish off the regular season, so we'll have to see how that goes with them. Next, Volos 2-1 loss to Bastianina. Pedro Conde with the first goal for Bastianina in the 30th minute, and then Asser Huam scored in the 47th minute to equalise, and then Conde got a second goal in the 72nd minute to get Bastianina a win in a relegation battle. So between the two sides, so. Big win for Barcelona in the hunt to stay up, because they are still second from bottom despite the fact they beat Volos at, away from home. Next, Christian Aek, comfortable 3-0 win over Gifisia. Gifisia went down to 10 men in the set in the 4th minute. Espinos got himself sent off. Levi Garcia scored a brace in the 19th and 24th minute, respectively. And then Ljubicic, this I'm going to absolutely butcher this name. Ljubicic scored in the 90th minute to comprehensively win. 28 shots for Christian, 11 on target. Gifisha with a man down, only 2 shots, none on target. So comprehensive, a comprehensive win.
Yeah, comprehensive to say the least. And, the poor bastards were in trouble, I think from the get-go, even if they didn't go down to 10 men. And, that scoreline is a pretty, I think, fair reflection of the game, just in terms of what you see on paper stats-wise. Good save by Sears keeper, to keep out Garcia's missed penalty, because I did see some highlights of this one. But, yeah, that's probably the only thing they could, clap about, I suppose. And, Garcia doing what he does. And I want to touch on briefly as well, Elias and their Swedish winger. I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like this guy can really fly under the radar just with his quality. Like, I just don't think he's, spoken about enough. I mean, I'm not an Ajax supporter, so, take what I say with a grain of salt. But, on both sides of his body, he's a lethal, deliverer of the ball and can really, cause teams headaches, and I'm sure he's going to do that, in the back half of the season.
Yeah, and Gifisia still rock bottom of the table, and Ajax with that win go top of the table. So and ending the week off, and they're looking good. Good form for Ajax. So good on them to beat, I guess, beat the worst team, because Gifisia gave us some trouble a few weeks ago. Next, we go to Offi. First game under Triana Stellas, 4-0 win over Bansaray Gos. Bit of a surprise, actually, because I thought it would be a little bit closer this one, considering Offi's form and Bansaray Gos being fairly decent this season. But yeah, comprehensive 4-0 smashing from Offi. Isak with the first goal in the 23rd minute, and then Lambrolopoulos in the 29th minute, and then Isak got a second in the 33rd. Then Baku made it 4-0 in the 79th minute. So pretty comprehensive from Offi. And that kind of just keeps them best of the rest, more or less. The eighth can't get the playoffs anymore either. So they'll see out the season in the playoffs and probably be one of the better teams in that phase. Then penultimate game, Asteras Tripolis had a 2-2 draw with Banadoligos. Diaz for Banadoligos actually opened the scoring in the 42nd minute, but then a few minutes later, Mirindelo, who's having an excellent season, scored just before half time. Zukanovic, in just after the hour mark, put Asteras 2-1 up, and then Ikiomonu in the 92nd minute gave them a very, very late equalizer to get the win. Very even game when you look at the stats, Christian, actually. I think a draw is probably a fair result for the two of them, and it's a little bit of a hit on Asteras, who aren't in the best form lately, to try and get the playoffs. Banadoligos, who are nowhere near the playoffs in the first place, kind of clipped their wings a little bit there to try and catch Lamia.
Yeah, look, like kind of like also at home to Lamia, this one was a bit of a kick in the guts, I think, to Asteras. And as I'm sure we'll touch on, we've buried the lead a little bit, although we don't want to make this an Olympiacos love-in, but it's going to be, I think, tough for Asteras next time out as well. So, and at home to, Panathinaikos, it's one they probably penciled in as not a guaranteed 3 points, but one they probably, set themselves for, the difficult run in the lead up to the end of the regular season. So, yeah, kicking the teeth, as I said.
Yep, and now we move on to the big one. PAOK Olympiakos, and Olympiakos got their revenge. Christian's dancing. Olympiakos got their revenge from the 4-2 defeat at Karaiskaki. We won 4-1 at Tumba. Good game overall, Christian. Probably the best, well, not probably, definitely the best in the league this season for Olympiakos. And Jose Luis Mendelabar has made a huge impact in this team. So firstly, Navarro, cheeky tapping after Chiquinho's shot was rebounded off the keeper. Then Bit of a controversial equaliser from Balk. Rodney was fouled. There was a handball, apparently, and Kirill Despotov equalised from that. So, it wasn't a clear-cut thing, but it probably could have been. It was a 50-50. Could have been given either way, you'd hope. And then just in the second half, Daniel Podence with a fabulous strike put us 2-1 up. And then super sub, Ayoub El Kabi, 83rd minute and 90th minute, made it 4-1. So very comprehensive. And just, apologies to Balk fans, because we got two Olympiakos fans talking about this game, so a bit one-sided. But I was so pleased, Christian. Honestly, it was a brilliant, brilliant result. The team is looking like their old self again. And as I said, Mendilibar has just instilled just common sense into the team, if anything, because we're playing so much better football. It feels like there's everyone's kind of fighting together, whether that be in attack or defense. And it gives you hope. And I think I've seen so many people get excited online, and I'm just trying to quash my own expectations, because I don't want to start thinking we can do this, we can do that. Title is back on, Europe is potential. Like, take it one game at a time. I'm really pleased with how we've started. It's two games. Mendilibar is doing great work early doors, and this is just the beginning, hopefully. Christian, your thoughts on this game, now that I've waxed lyrical for a couple of minutes?
No, it's all good, mate. Keep it coming. But yeah, look, I only saw the second half really of this one, trying to find, a good, I guess, stream to watch the game. But again, like in Europe only a few days, previous, the balance between, attack and defense, when to, do both, at the right times was really evident. I think was really, really, really positive. I mean, Podence's goal, obviously, it speaks for itself because of how good that was. But just want to touch on the El Kabi one, his first one, man. Like, that might not look so hard to some people, but I think just from a technique perspective, first time he's off balance and he found the corner with so much power, he's just a freak. Yeah, and yeah, I think the old phrase, keep a lid on it, it's very, very tough. And I'm trying to keep that, lid very much sealed. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't difficult, but team spirit seems high. Mendilibar's, balance, as I said, is fantastic. And yeah, we just were so clinical when we had to be. And I think, yeah, it was a deserved 3 points, no doubt about that. And I think what, five points off Ike at the top now, when I think a couple of weeks ago it was, nearly double digits. So yeah, we turned a bit of a corner, that's for sure. And hopefully we keep it up.
And to give Balk a bit of credit, they actually had some really good chances in this game, and they did play well.
Yeah,
So the
like
scoreline, I wouldn't say the scoreline doesn't reflect the performance of Olympiakos, but they de
we yeah,
but
if we had
definitely.
to, sorry if I just had just to cut you off there. I think we did have to weather a bit of a big storm in the second half. They came at us with, some good attacking play, so they definitely had their moments. So it wasn't the scoreline, 4-1, it wasn't like we dominated, I don't think. No.
No, and what I've noticed in these two games with Mendilibar is that he really likes to get the team to quash the attack, to just nullify them completely, so they can't do anything, and that's when the Olympiakos is the team that goes on the attack and kind of goes into those spaces that's left behind when they've tried to attack. And it's interesting because he did the exact same thing. We're going to the Ferencváros game, but he did the exact same thing where they looked dangerous at times and they had their chances, but then the over the period of the game, you saw those opportunities coming less and less and less, and it kind of Olympiakos wore down both their opponents. So it was just yeah. And then there were some really good stand-up performances as well. The centre back pairing Bianco and Carmo looked great. Midfield three of Chiquinho, Horta, and Heze were what we've missed in midfield for a while. That translation of defense to midfield, they were able to cover and also attack really well. And obviously, Kostas Fortunis, as I always say, is Kostas Fortunis. And Daniel Podence is a man reborn under Mendilibar after reportedly falling out with Carlos Carvajal, but then I'm not surprised by that. So it's pleasing to see Olympiakos back again in playing good football. And I think that's what I'm taking away from this. What I can kind of realistically say as an expectation is, I just want this kind of football to continue, whether we win anything or not. If we finish strong like this, and this is the foundations we build for next season, I'm happy. I'm happy. Not like satisfied, but I'm happy enough. So that's let's see what happens from here. Because as you said, Kristen, it's only we're only 5 points behind first place, and we can make up for it in the last three games because our games are relatively favorable for us. So we'll see what happens with Olympiacos. And it's not the end of the world for Balk either, because we were talking about Balk being the best, potentially the best team in the league this season. And they haven't won in their last two games, but they're not out of it. It's good to see all four teams still in it. And that's why I also say about Aris, going quickly back to them, they are, for me, right now, the definitive fifth best team. And I think even if they nick points against the big boys in the playoffs, I don't think they'll finish any higher than fifth just because they won't pick up enough points against the big four. I think the big four are still too strong for them overall.
Yeah, no, they won't. But it speaks to, I think, what you're implying there. A good, a collection of sides, competing for the title, and one who can easily, whilst they're not in that bracket, can, make life hard for those above them. And yeah, it all just points to, what is hopefully an even enough finish to the season where it goes down to the wire. So from that point of view, it's obviously good for the league. Absolutely.
Yeah, but as Olympiacos fans, we want to win it. Every season we want to
Yeah,
win it. Yeah, obviously.
absolutely.
Okay, so with that, we'll look at the table. So AEK Athens, as I said, top of the table on 52 points. And just a side note, I think every single member of the top four has actually been top this season, if I'm not mistaken. So that's also impressive because I don't think that happened last year. Olympiacos definitely weren't top of the league at any point last season. So yeah, AEK top of the league, 52 points. Balk 51 points. Panathinaikos 51 points. In third, Olympiakos in fourth on 47. Aris way behind on fifth on 38. Lamia on 34 points in sixth. Asteros on 30 points. Ofi on 23. Panathinaikos on 23. Adromitos on 23. Best of the rest of the group right there. Panathinaikos on 19 points. Volos on 17 points. And Bastianina and Kifisia on 16 points, respectively. So, Christian, we will now look at the next round of fixtures very briefly. Lamia host AEK. Panathinaikos host Adromitos. Bastianina host Ofi. Panathinaikos host Balk. Olympiakos host Asteras. Aris host Volos. And Kifisia travel to Panathinaikos in the Athens derby every time.
I
So,
was going to say, how many times you said that this season, do you
I
reckon?
just say it for banter. I don't care. It's just there's so many Athenian clubs. I know they're not rivalries, but they're both from Athens, aren't they? It's an Athens derby, and it also annoys. I think it comes from people who keep telling me, "Oh no, this club's not from Athens. This club's not from Athens."
No, I get, yeah.
Yeah.
I get
So
it. It's all right. Yeah.
I guess there aren't any really big fixtures this weekend. I guess Olympiacos Asteras is interesting, obviously, from our perspective. But yeah, I don't think I see anything that's really impactful to the league because Lamia AEK is arguably the biggest because Lamia is still trying to get into the playoffs and trying to cement that sixth place spot. So I guess you could argue that's the biggest game this weekend.
Yeah, that's the only one where I envisage, one of those top four sides possibly not winning. I mean, us, Olympiacos are home to Asteras, we can't let our guard down there, that's for sure. But, because they go away, their only loss this season, I think, was away to Ofi of all teams. So I
Yeah.
think Panathinaikos might have, did they pick up points off them when I went there? Or I know
I
I
think
killed them,
they
I think, at
did.
home. Oh, actually, no, I think it was the reverse. It might have been when Ike were at home. But yeah, anyway, so, Ike might be a bit vulnerable away from home, but they should still win, don't get me wrong. But yeah, that's probably the only one where the scale, is not so much to the side of they won't drop any points at all. They might, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that, like I said, I think that's the biggest quotation marks fixture of the weekend, just because of what it means to the league. Only Lamia and Asteras can qualify, so I guess that makes the Asteras game at Olympiacos pretty big too, because they need to try and maintain that fight for top six as well. Otherwise, they'll finish best of the rest. So those are the two biggest games, not just because AEK and Olympiacos are in there. And we continue. Next thing we'll talk about, I guess, Christian, is the Greek Cup, because there is a fixture today, big one as well. Panathinaikos host Balog. So Panathinaikos got a narrow 1-0 win in the first leg at Dumba. So it's going to be really interesting because they go into this game with fans back in the ground as well, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to be pretty big. And it's not a massive lead. Balog could very easily come back in this tie if they kind of rally after the recent results that they've had. So, any thoughts on this one, Christian?
Yeah, it was interesting. Just before we recorded, I see on Panathinaikos's Instagram that are smiling for this Ioannidis, enjoying some training life again, and the look who's back caption. So, it looks pretty obvious that I think they plan on him playing, some sort of part, whether he starts from the get-go or comes in off the bench. I'm sure he's going to have a say either way. So, Panathinaikos fans probably have that to look forward to. It's not a lead that's, impossible for Park to, claw back or even perhaps turn around, that's for sure. So that's going to be an interesting one, and yeah, can't wait for it.
And you know what? I just realized we didn't actually go through the first leg on the previous podcast because we did the podcast too early. So we will quickly just run through the game as well. So in the first leg, Sporão was the one who got the goal in the 53rd minute to put Panathinaikos ahead in the tie. And there was the incident between Tyson and Bacacetas. Both got sent off for having a bit of an
Yeah, I
altercation.
think they one might have throttled the other, or they throttled each other. There was definitely,
Something
I think, a
like
throat
that.
grab. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so Bacacetas will miss the second leg, as will Tyson as well. And I guess that makes it a little bit more interesting because Bacacetas, while not making like massive impact since coming, he's been a pretty key player for them since his arrival towards the end of the January transfer window, would you say, Christian?
Yeah. The better person to ask is obviously Panathinaikos diehard Nikol, but I think from what we see in the chat, I think he's generally pretty happy with him, even though he's not, I guess, getting the numbers up massively with, goals or assists. I think he's, still playing a role. So, yeah, again, Nikol the best person to ask, but yeah, from all reports, I think they're happy with him.
Yeah. Okay, next we will move on to the Europa Conference League because Olympiacos are also playing a return leg against Ferencváros. I guess we'll quickly go through the first leg as well. Olympiacos 1-0 winners in Garayskaki. Really, really pleased with that performance as well for the debut for Mendy Libar as manager. Some they like I said, Ferencváros had some chances to put the game to go ahead in the game, and we were a bit slow to start in both games actually, in against Balkan and against Ferencváros. It was a bit of a slow start for Olympiacos, and particularly in the first part of the first half and the first part of the second half. But then we warmed, I think, maybe less so in the second game against Balkan, but in the first game certainly we really warmed into both halves, and we started to really create some chances in the first half. Nothing, but we missed a hatful as well. El Kabi missed about two or three chances before he eventually scored in the 83rd minute. And by that point, we'd really nullified their attack. Their best player, Varga, sorry, he didn't have anything. He didn't make that much of an impact. They even brought him off. And I thought the moment they brought him off, I thought, okay, we can definitely win this now because I think they brought him off just before we went ahead. So good win for Olympiacos. Nice to see fans back in the ground. I thought Christian Mendilibar really managed the game well with his substitutes, with the plays that he brought on and the shape that he set Olympiacos out in. I thought bringing Pedence on as a super sub was impactful because we spoke about it at the beginning of the game, didn't we? Oh, he's not started Pedence. But I think it worked out for the best that he brought him on in the second half.
Yeah, look, I had egg on my face with the Podence call. There's no doubt about that. Just, I guess from start to finish, obviously couldn't have started any worse, really, when we thought we were 1-0 down after, what, 30 seconds? And then, thankfully that was, ruled out for offside by, the skin of the teeth. But this one, I felt the park game we brought up before, where it wasn't really, I don't think we really sort of swung the game our way in terms of, creating the better chances. It was more hitting them on the counter. This one, I felt it was the opposite, where we slowly turned the tide. they probably had the better go of it in an attack sense, probably the first 25 minutes. And then slowly but surely, we started to get a bit more possession and, you know, not get the clearest openings to goal, but certainly showed, you know, that we were finally in the mood. And then, you know, the substitution second half came at the ideal time. You know, put dents for Masuras, I think, after an hour, you know, injected, you know, some much needed, I guess, fresh legs and, you know, a bit of skill as well. And up pops El Kingby, as I've dubbed in the last, you know, week or so. And then, you know, connects as a good striker does, you know, stays alert in the box. And he got on the end of a cross that probably wasn't meant for him. I think it was maybe meant for Jovetic. But as I said, a good striker stays on their toes. And he's given us the 1-0 advantage heading into the game in Hungary in a few days' time. So, and again, you know, I spoke of Mendilibar's, you know, balance of attacking and defending and how equal and great it was. This is the main thing I noticed from his first game in charge. Yeah, it was perfect, just about.
Yeah, and on the goal, Fortunis's really lovely little kind of sideways cross to Rodine to find, well, maybe whether it be intentional or not, find El Kabi. Rodine is just a sensation this season, honestly. He's I think he creates, he's one of the most creative players on the team. And I know that for a right back, that isn't necessarily an unfamiliar thing in the modern game where fullbacks are expected to be more creative, but he's just, he's unbelievable, Rodine. And as you said, he set it up nicely. In fact, it was just that little bit of space in between the two defenders that El Kabi kind of pounced on. It was just, that was a poacher's goal right there. It was good. And as you said, Christian, as well, it's a very slim lead. So despite the fact the win's good, but just for morale and just to get the win at home before going away to Budapest, it's going to be tough going away from home. It's going to be really, really tough. So Olympiacos has to be prepared for a fight because they're going to come out of the blocks. And they didn't play it over the weekend because they had their fixture postponed specifically to rest for this fixture. Whereas Olympiacos and Balk requested a postponement of that derby match, and the Super League Council rejected it overall without getting a majority of votes. So look, that's how football normally works. A lot of teams are in Europe have to play their fixtures in between. That's just how it goes. Would have been nice to have got it. Balk had a good incentive too because they would have had a rest before the Greek Cup fixture, but it didn't work out. And we got an amazing night away in Tumba for it, so I can't complain too much. But we'll have to. We'll see how. We'll see. I think Mendilibar actually gave the team a day off that after Balk because of the amount of fixtures we're going to be playing. So that's good. And as long as they're back, ready to train again and ready to fight, you know, to get for the game tomorrow. Yeah, it should be fine. Let's see what happens against Ferencváros. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be tough away from home, as it always is with Greek clubs when they're not at home in Europe. But hopefully,
yeah, unless you're Ike winning away at Brighton. Yeah,
yes.
Anyway.
Yes. Very true. Very true. Yeah. And if Olympiacos progress to the round of 16, the draw will be on Friday, I believe, where Balk will be involved as well. They can't play each other yet. They can't. I believe clubs from the same nation can't draw each other until the quarterfinals. So we'll have to see if both teams reach that point before we can say, will Olympiacos play Balk in the potentially biggest derby ever? If they're having to play each other in Europe, would be insane.
Yeah, just quickly on Balk, I think them and the other sides that are already there, I think the group winners, they play their home leg as the second leg, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, their opponents, I think, get the home leg first. So that'll be interesting when, you know, whoever Balk have to travel to first up. So, and hopefully, Olympiacos, hopefully. I'm not saying we're going to get there yet, but hopefully, you know.
Hopefully.
We're there as well. Yeah.
So next, I think, Chris, there's a few different news items we're going to talk about today. So firstly is the Greek Cup final. So we reported via Sport 24 last week that EBOL president Dakis Baldakos spoke on a radio station where he said that the game will likely be hosted in Volos. Shock. And that only students and children will be allowed to attend at a limited capacity. So that's regardless of who reaches the final. So we spoke about this before, saying that, oh, if Ike and Aris play each other, sorry, not Ike, Balk and Aris play each other, it'll be a derby, so there won't be any fans. Or if Panathinaikos and Aris play each other, because they're big clubs, they might not be there might not be fans. So this is still pretty bad. It look great for students and kids to go out and see a Greek Cup final. That's great on them. Great for them. But it's just still so embarrassing for Ebor to do this again. Like, Volos, okay, I get it. It's a neutral ground. That's fair enough. But just, oh man, like I don't know, Christian. Like, is there a way they could have dealt with this worse or better?
Oh, there's definitely better.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. But yeah, look, where's Michael when you need him for his famous quote? You know, so
the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, that's it. I wasn't going to steal his thunder by, you know, saying it myself. But yeah, look, whether it's obviously fan violence, the big thing that they're worried about, I think, with, you know, as you mentioned, whether it's a Palk Artis affair or Panathinaikos Artis affair, the two, you know, most likely outcomes. Look, just beef up security. I don't know. But you got to allow, I think, a few more, you know, obviously, you know, demographics than just kids and families, right? Like, it's just nonsensical. Like, well, I've got, yeah.
My big issue is that it's, once again, Ebor and Baldakos showing that they're not trying to fix the problems in Greek football. They are simply just trying to shove them under the rug and hope that they stop. And that's not a good way of dealing with this. And I just think, either go whole ham and don't have fans, even though it's definitely worse than at least having a few kind of kids and students and parents there, or just try have a limited capacity. Try and beef, like you said, try and beef up security. They're literally installing security cameras so they can find these perpetrators more easily. And also, I believe it was the ID thing they're trying to do now too, where you have to have identification cards as part of your ticket so they can identify you as well. So I don't understand. There's no logic to this decision whatsoever. And it's not the final decision. That's what they're suggesting might happen. I mean, personally, I think it will happen. It will be in Volos, mainly because they won't have it at Oaga. They won't have it at like another ground where a team might not be competing. Like, they won't have it at Dumba. They won't have it. Well, Balk will probably be in the final, but they won't have it. Like, my point is, they won't have it at a neutral ground anywhere other than Volos. And I think if you've noticed this season, Kristen, they've not tried to do the whole, we're going to do it in a foreign country, we're going to try and take it out to give people more experience of Greek football and get more revenue. They're just flat out admitting they've messed up again. And they even said that they wanted to get the stadium sorted earlier this season, and they still technically haven't done it. And it's nearly March.
Nah, look, it's not as last minute as last season, but sure as hell isn't much better. There's no doubt about that. Like, yeah.
And
I have no new words, mate. I think it's just, you know, our expressions probably say it all.
They're definitely waiting until the teams are picked. So whichever teams reach the final. So after this game, it'll probably make it a bit clearer what they're going to do. Because I think the other fixture between, I think, Aris and Panathinaikos aren't actually played for a little bit. I think it's not played till March, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, near the 7th or 8th of March, I'd look at that.
It's the, yeah. Yeah, 6th of March, like European time. Strange that fixture's been played, not being played at the same time. I'm not quite sure, because it's not like Balk is playing at Dumba right the same day. So I don't know. They've let, that's their decision. Fair enough. We actually didn't go through that fixture either, so we'll quickly go back to that one. Aris Kolb, narrow 1-0 win against Panathinaikos in Agrinio. Velez got the goal in the 64th minute, so Aris have a narrow lead over Panathinaikos. So Panathinaikos could still pull it back, but it's probably unlikely. Aris is still a much better team than them, and I think it'll be Aris.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if I mean, I'd love it if Aris probably didn't get there. I mean, because, you know, we probably meant for the final that one of Palk, or, well, unfortunately, Panathinaikos, you know, a better chance of beating him. And then by way, I think we get that, you know, league European spot. But, yeah, I'd be shocked if Aris would have dropped this one.
Yeah, just quickly touching on that thing as I forgot. But, yeah, well, those two fixtures will obviously... Ebor, just wait. Once Aris Panathinaikos is done, Ebor immediately come out and be like, oh, by the way, the final's here. oh, by the way, we're not having fans, or we're having limited crowd. And that's the other thing. Why, if you're having kids and students who are, you know, not really going to cause any that many issues, why have that at a limited capacity? Why not just fill the stadium with like parents and kids, like make it a nice atmosphere in that respect? I don't understand why. What are kids going to do? I
Yeah,
don't.
all these calls, man, they just raise more and more questions, and we could do it till the cows come home, really.
Yeah.
We'd...
It's there's so much to talk about because it's so illogical. That's why and like we'll have to see what happens with Ebor's official decision on what hap on what they decide to do for the Greek Cup final. But it's a shame because we as we said last year, it's our domestic cup competition. They're kind of making it into a circus as is with the rest of Greek football at times. So just really, really disappointing, to be honest, Christian. I guess next we will quickly touch on some Greeks abroad because we haven't done that for a little bit. Christos Zolis, so he got a brace in his last fit in the last game he played for Düsseldorf, and Düsseldorf are currently on track to make well they're in the running for the playoffs if I'm not mistaken, Christians, but he's
Yeah,
looking
they're,
unbelievable
I
at the
think,
moment.
yeah, he is. And, you know, they're, I think third place is probably their most realistic target. I think, unfortunately, I think they haven't won a game, you know, in their last five. So top two is probably slipping away from them. But just back on Zolis, yeah, unreal, man. Like, I think 11 goals, three assists in 19 league games, plus another couple of both in the DFB Pokal. So, yeah, he'll have a fair, you know, queue of suitors if Fortuna Düsseldorf, you know, were to get promoted, that's for sure. And I think Wolfsburg is a team I think's been thrown up just as a rumor. I'd love it if he went there personally.
I agree.
Yeah, because I think their wingers this season haven't been too crash hot when it comes to providing their goals. So yeah, I'd imagine if he goes there, he'd be given every chance to impress. So I'm all for that one. But as I said, you know, the queue of suitors won't be small, that's for sure.
And interestingly, Christian, they came out recently and said that regardless of whether they get promoted or not, they are going to try and purchase him to cash in on him immediately. So maybe that becomes less likely if they get promoted to the Bundesliga and they want to keep some of their more talented players to try and fight and stay up in the division. But certainly, if they don't go up, I would see them doing what they said they would do and buy him, sell him for a profit because they can make a decent profit on him, and I think he could go to a top. To a first division side, whether that be in the Bundesliga or whether that be elsewhere. You know, Eredivisie, as we've always said, has been a good place for Greek players in recent times. I just think he needs to be in a first. He's proven he's more capable than the second Bundesliga. Not that the second Bundesliga is a weak second division by any means. I think it's ranked up there with the Championship as like one of the better second tiers in Europe and even the world. So good. It's not a bad place for him to be right now, but now that he's kind of rebuilding his career, that he needs to take that next step if he's given that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be very intrigued to see how Fortuna Düsseldorf, you know, approach that sort of situation where, you know, they buy him and how much they can expect when they sell him again. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But yeah, his time's now to, you know, give it a good crack in, you know, a decent first division comp and test himself once again, whether that's regardless who that's with.
I guess last bit I can think of to speak about, Christian, is Alexandros Baskalakis, new contract, signed a 2-year extension until 2026 with Olympiakos. Really pleased about this one, Christian, from an Olympiakos perspective, because he came in. I didn't have huge expectations, if I'm being completely honest, when he first came in, because you know he was okay at Balk, but he had a gaff in him. He would always make an error. He was very error prone at times at Balk. But he's come to Olympiakos and completely usurped his predecessor, which was, I think it was Thomas Vatchalik. It's been that, it's felt like a million years ago since Thomas Vatchalik, but it was. And so I'm extremely pleased with how Baskalakis has done, and he's come up clutch in some massive fixtures for us.
Yeah, look, this extension's definitely warranted. He's been fantastic. There's no doubt about that. And interesting, you know, we talked about, you know, Zolis before, and, you know, Vlachos Dimos is definitely, you know, number one for the ethnic here. But, you know, when he goes down, or if he goes down, or, you know, hopefully he is picked, but if he's not, I wonder if, you know, Pascal Lakis is next in line, sort of thing. So, but anyway, yeah, as I said, the extension's warranted. He deserves it. And, you know, long may his good form continue.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully that's the start of Olympiakos signing their Greek players on longer-term deals, i.e. Yorgos Masouras and particularly Kostas Fortunis. But we shall see with those two. Hopefully they sign extensions.
Yeah. Interestingly, on Masouras, I'm not sure if you saw, but VfL Bochum, also in the Bundesliga, I think they're quite keen if one of their attackers, Takuma Asano, departs. I think I've seen a few articles flying around that he could be a direct replacement there. So Masouras maybe in the Bundesliga or Bundesliga 2 if they, you know, go horrendously and get relegated somehow.
Yeah, well,
I don't think that's going to happen, but yeah.
Well, I don't know where they are in the Bundesliga right now. I'll have a quick look. But I'd love Masouras
fourth
to stay.
Fourth or fifth last, I think. So they're a fair bit off relegation.
Yeah. Bochum are 11th, so not too bad. Kind of mid-table. Not terrible.
Okay.
I'd like him to stay at Olympiakos, as I'm sure you would too, Christian. But yeah.
Yes, of course. And I want him to leave. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Fortunis is an interesting one, isn't it? Because there's not been any news. But he doesn't look unhappy either. Obviously, we don't know what's going on in behind the scenes. But when he plays, he's playing really well under Mendilibar now. And he looked happy even after the game against Offi, which we won 4-0. He had his kid there. Marinakis was kind of greeting him. And they looked like they were fairly in good terms. So I don't know if Fortunis, he's probably just waiting until nearer the end of the season to see what happens with Olympiakos. And hopefully with the very recent improved form, and if it carries on in that stretch and he thinks that there's a project to stay at Olympiakos for, maybe he signs too. Hopefully. No more rumors about him going to rival clubs, please. I'm not pleased about that.
Yeah, look, that it's funny you should mention that. I haven't seen, you know, like Masouras and you know, possibly VfL Bochum. There's been no reports, I don't think, of anything real.
No.
Concrete about a specific club for Kostas. So that's fake news until it's real, I think.
Yep, 100%. And best believe we'll hear about it if it does happen. But fingers crossed, he stays in Berea. So, Christian, I think that's everything. Unless there's any last notes you want to give before we head off.
Yeah, look, from a biased and selfish point of view, hopefully Olympiakos get the job done against, you know, Ferencváros. It's going to be, you know, tough away with what's going to be a raucous, you know, crowd. They're fresh off, 7 days rest, pretty much. So, and yeah, I'd imagine, you know, a clean bill of health and no suspensions to speak of. They're going to be hungry to reverse and turn that tie around. So it's going to be interesting to see how we cope with that.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, good luck to Olympiakos, and hopefully we see them in the draw on Friday. And if any of your other teams are about to play, you know, Panathinaikos Parga about to play, best of luck to them, I guess, from a neutral perspective. I don't know. But anyway, guys.
I tried not to, you know, be biased throughout this, but yeah, it creeped out a little bit.
Yeah. But look, there's nothing wrong with a bit of bias. Nothing wrong with that at all. So I guess we leave it there, Christian. So thank you guys so much for listening. Please keep supporting us on social media. We always appreciate the interactions we have with you whenever we post anything on the main page, whether that be any latest blogs, any latest posts or updates about everything Greek football and the match full times as well. We really appreciate that. And keep following us on social, keep following the podcast as well. If you know someone who is into Greek football and wants to listen to a podcast, or just wants to listen to a football podcast that talks about the gift that keeps on giving, which is Greek football. Thank you, Michael, for that. Please send it to them. And if you haven't already, leave us a 5-star review, because we really appreciate it. It just bumps us up in the charts, as it were, to get more listenership. And, you know, the more people listening, the better for us. So, and we always appreciate everything that you guys have done for us with regards to supporting us. And yeah, thank you again for joining me, Christian.
Pleasure, mate, as always.
Right, and we'll see you guys next week after all the league fixtures, the cup fixtures, and Europe too. See you guys then.